Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Strikeout Bros. Pablo and Lasha. What's up, Lasha? How's it going, bro?
What's going on, man? I can't believe we're already on episode 16. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we're doing it, man. We keep continuing to, you know, bring it to you. And today's episode is going to be super interesting. I hope you guys like it. It's going to be, you know, a lot of informational, you know, stats on what's going on in the league. It's a weird season, and we're going to be talking about why. And the name of the episode is Under 500 and Still in the Race. So, you know, I have a serious problem with what's going on in the league right now. Let me explain something to you. I'm old school. I remember when the three divisional leaders made the postseason, followed by the next best record, right, being the wild card in both leagues, right? So, basically, if you win a division, you're in the postseason. And then the next best record, boom, wild card. And you slide right in. Basically, back in the day, if you were over 500, this is how you got to the playoffs. You know, you had to play hard and you had to have a good season and you would slide right into the playoffs with no problem, right? You know, you put in the work and there you go. You're fighting for the championship. Not anymore. This is how I feel. I feel like I personally think that it's gotten out of hand, especially on the National League side, right? There's only four teams on the National League side that are way above 500. Philly, the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Braves, right? These are the four teams that are fighting for their lives, right? They play hard every single day. These are the teams that I want to see in the postseason, you know, because they put in the work, right? And then you have mediocre teams like San Diego and St. Louis. You know, San Diego, I believe, is like three games above 500, and St. Louis is like probably one, two games above 500. So we're not even going to count those guys.
Mets, you know? Too, they're in the wild card chase, too, yeah. Don't forget.
Yeah, listen, I'm a Mets fan, but let me explain something to you. I don't want to slide into the postseason that way, you know? Play hard, play above your means, make sure you're playing way above 500, and I feel like a team like that deserves to be in the playoffs, all right? Everybody's fighting for a wild card slot right now. It's a tight race, right? So there's only two teams in the National League that prior to the All-Star break are going to be sellers, and this is guaranteed because they have no shot at making a wild card, no matter how complicated the wild card is now and how easy it is to get in, because there's three wild cards. It's insane to me. So, like, Colorado is out of it. Miami is out of it, all right? So they're definitely going to be sellers, you know. Miami got rid of their best hitter not too long ago. Sent them to the Padres. And the Padres are, you know, they're doing well right now because they're fighting for that last wild card slot. But it makes no sense to me how teams below 500 are getting into the playoffs, right? I'm definitely not a fan of it. Even though my team is in that situation right now, I'm definitely not a fan of it. You know, before baseball became a cash cow, right, those four teams I just mentioned, Philly, Atlanta, Milwaukee, and the other team was the the Milwaukee Brewers, right? These teams would have slid right into the playoffs with no problem. You know, this is what I'm talking about. And now with the, you know, the cash cow system, that's what I'm going to call it, you know. Imagine how much extra money MLB is making because of this. You know, it really makes me sick to my stomach, right? Due to the fact, right, that everyone is competing for this wild card, there's going to be more buyers and barely any sellers, right? Meaning that these sellers, they're going to be getting away with murder, right? They're going to ask for a lot when it comes to, you know, these players that they want to get rid of, because there's a high demand for these players. That's what it is, you know? So basically, there's like maybe five teams out there that are going to be sellers. You know, we thought Toronto was going to be a big seller, but we don't know yet, because they're 6.5 games out of the wild card and they think they still have a shot. I mean, there's more than half a season of baseball left. So, you know, who blames them because of the system that's been put in play? Who blames them for thinking that they still have a shot? They have a lot of baseball left, and they have a lot of great stars, right? So, if, you know, I'm hoping that they say, you know what, we're not going to make it. You know, we had an episode last week when we were talking about how these guys were going to be the guys making the most, you know, moves and getting a lot of prospects for these guys, because they have a lot of good talent on that team, and now it looks like they're not even going to be selling. So we only have like five teams that are probably going to be sellers because of how low in the standings they, you know, they're in. So you have the Chicago White Sox, you have the Anaheim Angels, you have the Oakland A's, you have Colorado, and what's the other team we just finished talking about in the National League? Colorado and Miami. Okay, so these are the teams that are definitely going to be sellers. What do you think, Lash? What do you think about what I'm saying? I know you think, you know, in a different way, and I'm excited to hear all about it.
So just to iterate for everybody, our definition of true contenders are teams that are 10 games or better above 500. If you're 3 or 4 games above 500, I can't take you seriously, because all it takes is for you to go on a 4-game losing streak or 5-game losing streak and you're back to 500 or less. So, or even if you're already currently under 400, under 500 and you've lost 4 in a row, you just get further. So, but because of the third wild card team, this is what happens. So back to a topic we had earlier, the previous podcast, we talked about what happens if we reduce the games. So my thinking is, if you reduce the games, it makes it so that when you're already this late into the season, less teams would probably be under 500, and you have more competitiveness and you have more teams fighting for the wild card, and it makes it so there's more parity in the game. It's not good for baseball. You know, they always say, why do we keep losing fans? I don't get it. I'll tell you why they're losing fans. It has nothing to do with the game being boring. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with that fact that 11 out of 30 teams are under 500. And I'm sorry, if you're one of those teams that are under 500 and still considered a playoff contender or in the race, you don't count, in my opinion, because you're most likely not going to make the playoffs. Because if you're under 500, you should not make the call. You shouldn't even be allowed to be. For me, in order to be a playoff, a wild card contender, you have to be 500 or better. Anything less than that, you are not, in my opinion, you're not considered a wild card team.
Exactly.
And that's why I would say that, and it make it more exciting. You know what I would do if I was a commissioner too? I'd say if you're the only teams that are allowed to make severe trades for star players are teams that are in the playoff hunt, because those are the teams that want to get better and try to improve themselves. You know what I mean? So it makes it more exciting, and then allows you to get what you need if you're one of those teams that are contending. So if you're a team that's 500 or better, you are the only teams that are allowed to bid for those top players on teams that are not in the playoff running. So for example, right, if I'm trying to get Pete Alonso from the Mets, right, and I'm the Braves, right, I know the Mets are probably not going to make the playoffs, right? A team like the Braves should be allowed to trade for Alonso. But if you're a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks or you're St. Louis and you're just barely hanging, you don't qualify for those type of player to at least be in consideration for trading for a Pete Alonso, some of that cachet. So I would reduce the season and get rid of that third wildcard team, and then you just I think you have more parity in the game, and it just be more, you get real results of like, you get like, all right, this team is actually real playoff contender, because we're in a 60 game season. Look how they're already, you know, we're already in the midsummer, and look how far they are, and like, you can really tell. So that's why I think they should reduce the season. But I do agree with you. You know, like in football, a couple of years ago, the Washington team, they made the playoffs because they were in the worst division, and they finished with the best record in that division. The best record in that division that year was 7-9. And now in baseball, right, if you have, let's just say, the NL Central is completely washed and every team in that division is under 500, I think what should happen is the next best team. So if you have the NL East and there's three good teams that are 10 games or better above above 500, that third team in the NL East should represent the team in the NL Central, because the NL Central does not have good enough teams to represent that division. So for that reason, because for example, right, how is that? It would not be fair that the Cardinals finish, you know, a game under it finish 80-82. But they make the wild card because they won that division. But meanwhile, the Mets are 10 games above 500, and they don't make it because we have to have a representative from each division. I'm sorry. If your division is not good enough to represent, then that team is out for that division, and the next best team comes in. That's how it should be done.
I understand what you're saying. So basically what you're saying is, let's just get rid of the divisions altogether and have 15 teams fighting, and the top four teams make the playoffs. Right? That's what you're saying to me right now. So you're basically saying to me, let's get rid of the division altogether. But you know what? The division makes it interesting. I like the division. You know, all right? So let the leader in the division make the playoffs, right? We have three divisions in each league. All right, that's fine. Let's make, you know, because you have that little fight, that little race going on between these five teams in each division. That's cool, you know what I'm saying? Because it makes it, you know, super interesting in a way where you can, like, just focus on your division, right? This is what used to happen to me back in the day. Like I said, a couple of years ago, prior to this podcast, I would focus on my division, right? And I pretty much knew all the great players in that division, but I wasn't looking outside of the division because it didn't matter at that time. You know, we were playing a lot of divisional games. You know, now that we're playing everyone in the league, it's changed a little bit. So we're playing less divisional games, and we're seeing a little bit of everybody. So it changes the dynamic of the season, right? But I like the divisional race, you know, because you can focus on that if you're a baseball fan and you don't really have to look outside. But if you're saying that you want the best teams out of those 15, you know, teams in that league to make the playoffs, then what you're basically telling me is that you want to get rid of the divisions altogether. You understand what I'm saying? This is what you basically told me.
No, what I would do is because what, it's 12 teams that currently make the playoffs? Or is it 10 teams?
It's way too many. So, yeah, basically you have the three divisional leaders, right? And then you have three wild cards. So that's 6-6. That's 12 total.
So what I was saying is you take the six best records from both divisions, the six best records from the NL, take the six best records from the AL. And if you're not, that makes sense, because if your division happens not to be one of those top six teams, then you don't make it. That's just the way it is. Big reason why I like that, because then you have a true understanding of like who are the six best teams in each division. If you were to do it the current style, right? If the sixth best team is in the NL East, which has three teams, that third team in the NL East is not going to make it because we had to put somebody else from that division to make up so that way every division is represented. That's not fair.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but that's the funny thing about it, right? So, like, there are divisions in the league, right, in the National and the American League, where they're...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Teams in the division that are super better than, you know, the other divisions. All right, so the National League East is way stronger than the majority of the divisions. Well, then you have the West, right? The West is funny because you have good teams there, but they're not better than the Dodgers. There's no way that anybody's going to overpower the Dodgers or win that division, all right? That division is theirs before the season even starts, right? So you have that problem, right? So I see what you're saying. So let's get rid of the divisions altogether then. If we're going to do that, let's get rid of the divisions because the National League East is the strongest division in the National League, and it's pretty obvious that the American League East is the strongest division. Well, you know, things are changing now in the American League. All right, because now you have teams like the Guardians doing, you know, things, and they play in the Central, correct? So you have a team like the Guardians who have been able to excel and get, you know, right the ship and get really, really good over the last couple of years, right? Even after getting rid of the Lindors, you know? And then you have the American League East, who I used to think was the best division in the American League when they had Toronto and they had the Baltimore Orioles trying to, you know, right the ship. Tampa Bay, you know, another team that constantly made the playoffs. You have Boston, you know, Boston was always there, and the Yankees, all right? So that division was really overpowered, you know? They were the best division, and they had a lot of great teams. Now, is it due to demographics and where they sit, you know, and those guys playing on the East Coast? It's funny how a lot of the teams on the East Coast, you know, they spend a lot of money and they have a lot of great players and they do things differently. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and it's just interesting like that. What do you think?
I think I'm starting to realize too, I was thinking about it, is that baseball has changed over the years. You no longer have rivalries anymore, I've noticed. And rivalries have made that divisions better because these guys are truly head-to-head. They really care about playing each other, and they really want to knock each other off. Now everyone's buddy-buddy, so they don't try as hard, and it's all about rubbing everybody's belly and asking how your family's doing. So the days of the Yankees and the Red Sox or when the Mets and the Yankees played each other, you know, cross-town rivals, it was intense because they hated each other. So it made you – so you earn those runs. And now it's like, nah, who cares? Like, you know, that's why divisions were more tighter because they actually cared. So I think that definitely has to do with why the baseball is going down the road. It's going down as far as not being as competitive and the division races not being as tight as it once was.
Yeah, I hate it too. I don't like when, you know, these guys get a double and there's a, you know, banter going on at second base. I hate it. It bothers me. You know, it's another thing that bothers me. Let me explain something to you. The other day I was watching the Mets play, and it was an ESPN game. It's the same day that Edwin Diaz got ejected prior to throwing his first pitch. Because he had a sticky substance in his hand. And, you know, ESPN was really serious about zooming in on his hands. And there was a lot of stuff
going on. That was Chicago, right?
That was Chicago, yes, Chicago. So, you know, during the game, they had Pete Alonso mic'd up. And while he's playing defense, and, you know, these guys, the analysts, are having a conversation with him while he's playing defense. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Let this guy concentrate on his job. And, you know, I wonder, you know, we're going to have to look it up. Has there ever been a player that was being interviewed while he was playing defense and fumbled the play? You know what I'm saying? Because he was too busy concentrating on answers and trying to answer politically correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to look it up. We're going to get back to you on that, guys. But, you know, we don't have a team here that can lift that stuff up, you know, lift that stuff up for us. You know, like, it's a two-man show. So we're going to get back to you on that, but that's ridiculous to me. Why are you interviewing my first baseman when he's trying to play defense? It's ridiculous, you know? This is what the sport is, you know, the sport is, you know, it's going in the wrong direction. That's my personal opinion, you know.
Listen. Oh, you know why they do the on-field interviews? Because they want to be like football, because football, you hear the loud mics, you hear everything's going, it's cool. You know, they want to get the fans involved. But also, that's on the player. That falls on ESPN and the player, because the player could have just not said anything, completed the play, and then just, like, went on with the interview. But he wasn't trying to multitask, and it didn't work. If you ask the player, hey, did you fumble the play because, you know, Alex Rodriguez was asking you a dumb question on the live broadcast, he's not going to admit to it, but obviously it probably is. I know I can't, if you're asking me a question and I'm trying to do something at work, you know, pushing a patient, you know, on a stretcher, I'm probably going to, you know, make some mistake, you know, but who knows, but I don't know. It's stupid to have the on-field interview, in my opinion. Do it between innings if you really want to interview these guys.
Yes. I mean, mic them up if you want and let them, you know, focus on each other, and you know, so you can hear the sounds of the game. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Don't interview them. This is ridiculous to me. Don't interview them. That's crazy. I hate it. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I guess I'm getting older, and I feel like, you know, the sport is going in the wrong direction. You know, there's a lot of things that I like that they want to implement into the game, but this is one of them that I definitely don't like. You know, this is me. This is me. I'm just getting older, and I wanted to come back to, you know, let's come back down to the, you know, to the ground. You know, let's just leave that alone. Let's not play with that. But whatever. Let's talk about Edwin Diaz. All right, we knew that Edwin Diaz had a lot of problems, you know, after coming back, and you know, he didn't have control. He lost a couple of games for the Mets when, you know, we bring him in to, you know, get the save. And now he gets caught with the sticky stuff, you know. I mean, listen, I was watching the game, and it was pretty blatant that, you know, there was something going on there. There was some blue stuff going on there, some dark black stuff. And you could tell that, you know, the sand was sticking to his hand really well, you know. And, you know, he was very, you know, relaxed and calm about the situation, as if he had no idea what was going on, you know. But, and well, I mean, he played his position. What was he supposed to say? Yeah, you caught me? Yeah. I mean, listen. He had a couple of good games prior to getting caught with that sticky stuff. Now he has to pay out the league, and he's down for 10 games. And this happens right prior to the Yankee series. You know, I understand it's a two-game series. The Yankees, you know, weren't doing too well prior to, you know, meeting the Mets at Citi Field. They lost three series in a row. The Mets have been amazing. You know, it's the feel-good story of the league. You know, they're the best team in baseball right now. They won 16 out of 22 games. They haven't lost a series yet since getting swept by the Dodgers in late May. I mean, who knows what's going on over there? What are they smoking? You know, they're playing really well. It's I don't know. You know, listen, I'm a Mets fan. I know what's gonna happen. You know. And, you know, hopefully I'm wrong, but these guys are going to fall. They're going to fall apart. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about it on the podcast. These guys were sellers all the way. You know, I didn't want to keep Alonso around. I really wanted to get McNeil out of there. For some reason, McNeil is still playing when you have Iglesias there. Iglesias has proven day in and day out that he belongs on second base. But since, you know, McNeil's getting paid the big bucks, of course they're going to put him in the game. Whatever, he got two hits last night. You know, were they, you know, really, you know, nice hits? No, they weren't. You know, he got lucky. I'm saying he got lucky. Everybody else, though, is really hitting the ball. J.D. Martinez has become a monster. You know, Alvarez came back from that injured thumb, and he's a force, man. I love the way he catches these, you know, you know, top of the rotation guys. He commands attention. He's a really good player. He's hitting the ball really well. You know, we took the first game from the Yankees. We hit the ball really well. We destroyed Mr. Cole. And, you know, I bump into these Yankee fans, and they're like, oh, Cole's not ready to come back. So why is he on the mound? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear excuses. The Mets are playing really well, and they're showing signs of life. Like, you don't take that away from them. But I know what's going to happen at the end. You know, we play well, and then all of a sudden, when it comes down to it, and we're getting really close to ending the season, we fall apart, and we don't even make it to the postseason. But, hey, hopefully I'm wrong this year. You know, Mr. Stearns seems like he knows what he's doing. He said it multiple times over. This is a team that I put together, and I felt like they seriously had a chance at making the postseason. And now it's starting to show, you know. But like I said, we'll see. So now we're in that pack of National League teams that are fighting for this last wild card, which is hilarious to me, right? As much as I hate it, listen, if the Mets make the playoffs, I'm going to dare to say that they deserve it because of the way they've been playing. You know, like think about it, 16 out of 22 games, that's insane. And we've been, you know, hitting the ball off of a lot of great pitches, you know. And you have to understand that, you know, our schedule is going to get a little tough because of what's going on in the league. We have to play the Nationals 7 games in the beginning of next month. And we have to fight Pittsburgh as well. And we even bump into Paul Skenes. I want to see that. I actually want to see what the Mets can do against him. You know, we're being, you know, patient at the, you know, at the plate. We're doing all the right things. We're stealing. We're double stealing. We're doing all types of crazy things that, you know, I knew this team was capable of doing, but we never actually got to see it. But now, for some reason, the Mets are magical. It's kind of crazy. And, you know, tonight we're playing the last game of the series with the Yankees. I believe we were winning 3-0 last time I was watching prior to jumping on this podcast tonight. And there's a rain delay going on at Citi Field right now. It's coming down pretty hard, and we'll see what happens, you know. But we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. And we're also going to be playing the Houston Astros pretty soon. And the Astros have gotten pretty hot lately. And, yeah, they were able to sweep the O's. We're going to talk about the O's right now because the O's are very interesting. The O's are very interesting. This is your team, and I want you to set it off on that because I have a lot of things to say. But you know what? I'm going to let you talk about them first because that's your team.
Yeah, so the problem with Baltimore right now, they just lost another starter for the year, Bradish. He's going to have to get UCL surgery. They just, you know, you run into buzzsaws in the wild, once in a while. You know, Houston, they're always contenders every year. Right now, they're under 500. But the weekend was kind of rough series. So the game on Friday, they were down 14-3. I was like, this game's over. I'm sitting at the airport. I'm about to go fly home to Jersey. I was like, I just turned it off. I put on the Stanley Cup. And I said, you know what? Let me go back. Maybe something might happen. Because, you know, Baltimore's a feisty team. They always fight back. They're not going to just surrender and let you walk away. Well, they end up not doing that. I turn the game back on, and before you know it, it's 14-11. I said, oh, wow, we have a chance. We might win. Well, that didn't happen. And then game 2 and 3, they just got shut out. They just scored, 3 runs, I think, total. And they just could not score runs. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if they just used up all their energy in that Friday night game hitting home runs. But problem with Baltimore and the problem with every team that's a home run hitting team is that eventually you wear out. And then when you can't score the home runs, it's like, uh-oh, how do I score runs now? You know, it's like a car. You know what I mean? You know every day you drive a car, but you don't have a backup plan when the car breaks down.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. They didn't realize, oh, wait, well, I can go get on a bicycle and go to work or get an Uber. So now they're out of luck, and I think Houston ran into us at the right time. And then they're playing Cleveland. Cleveland had won 7 in a row prior.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Today, and Cleveland's a hot team. They're the number one team in the NL AL Central. So it's just going to happen. I'm not worried about it. See, this is why it's good if you're 10 games or above 500. So when you do have slips, it's not going to hurt you. And it helps that the Yankees are losing to the Mets, because if the Yankees had won all those games in the games that they –
yeah.
Because the Yankees in that weekend when Baltimore played Houston, Yankees played Atlanta, and they lost 2 out of 3. So if the Yankees had swept Atlanta and they had taken two games out of New York, the Orioles would be already 5 games out of first place. And they're saying it's getting late early, you know, and yeah. More you fall behind in that division, and we noticed sometimes it's not bad to be a wild card winner. Look at the Diamondbacks and the Texas Rangers. They're both wild card teams, and they went far. So it's not the end of the world. But when you're playing a team like the Yankees, and the Yankees have more offense than the Orioles, and they have better pitching staff. And that's the crazy thing about Baltimore is that they're 5-2 against the Yankees overall. But because they keep losing and the Yankees keep winning, they keep falling behind. But right now they're 1.5 games out if the game ends today. So it's not the end of the world. Like I said, yeah, we had a little 5-game losing streak. It happens. But they just got it. My biggest concern for Baltimore is their pitching staff. They lost 2 starters. Burns has been okay. Rodriguez has been good. Other than that, I don't know. They're going to have to get somebody. I don't know what they're going to do. But I'm not going to worry about it. It's interesting. But I think the more exciting team right now has definitely been the Mets. Their starting pitching has been, by far, my opinion, the biggest surprise and the biggest upswing for the Mets for the most part. And if the Mets continue doing what they're doing, like I've said before, they might just keep what they have and not trade anybody. And I know you don't want to hear that because you want to rebuild the system. So if you can trade people and get assets back, and knowing that the Mets, that they can re-sign those guys they let go via trade, then do that. But if they keep winning in there now, oh, wait, we're only a game under 500. Oh, well, look, we're 3 games out of a wild card spot. Let's hold our ground and see what happens. Guess what? Next Monday is July already. You know what that means? We're 4 weeks away from the trade deadline? Not even?
Mm-hmm.
So now, if they're playing above 500 ball and they're 2 games out of a wild card, guess what the Mets are going to do? They're going to have no choice but to keep who they have.
Yeah.
Or they could do what Baltimore did last year or 2 years ago. They were like 2 or 3 games out of a wild card. They ended up selling anyway because they knew, like, I think about the future, and that's what they did. We weren't happy about it because we let go of our best closer at the time, who was Jorge Lopez, former Met, and all these other guys. Trey Mancini, and now Trey Mancini's not even playing in the league anymore.
It worked out for them.
Oh, he might be in Chicago, but still. So that's the decision the Mets got to make, and it goes back to the topic why teams under 500 should not be allowed to be in playoff contention.
Yeah, it bothers me. It's kind of crazy, but yeah, the Mets. But you know what? Let's go back to the O's. The O's, man, they played so well, you know. And I remember, you know, us, you know, talking right prior to the Yankee series, and I told you that they were going to prevail. And you know, you were optimistic. You were like, yeah, hopefully we win. You know, you weren't too, you know, you weren't sure.
Was too and, confident that they're
yeah,
going to win.
Yeah, you weren't too confident. But I told you that they were going to prevail, and they did. You know, and they played Atlanta. They destroyed them too, and they played the Phillies, and they were able to pull that off too. And I don't know. I love that team. I love that team. It's not because they wear orange, and not because, you know, you love them, and it makes me look in a little harder. You know, I just like the ball club. I like what they're doing, and you know, when they hit that wall with Houston, and you know, they lost the Houston series, they lost the Cleveland series. Thank God they were able to stop the bleeding today, and they won. And I want to see them move on, you know. But it's funny because, you know, that division is crazy because now the Yankees, like I said, they lost 3 series in a row. If they lose tonight, that'll be 4 in a row. And they're struggling as well. And me and my dad were watching the game. You know, my dad's here from Puerto Rico, and he's going to be here for a couple of weeks. And, you know, we were kind of like arguing over like how the pitching staff on the Mets side was pitching to the Yankees. You know, I was telling him, you can't, you know, lay it down the pipe. You know, my dad loves it. He's like, you know what, just pitch to them and we'll figure it out. No, you can't, because you have to, you know, get them off balance. You know, you have to kind of like trick the lineup You know, look what happened last night. Judge hit a grand slam, right? Soto hit his blast too, you know? So, yeah, you know, is it expected?
You can't pitch to these guys. You got to dance around them.
And you have to dance around them. You have to make them, you know, you have to make them dizzy. You have to try to, you know, you have to.
You got to make them earn it. You know
what I mean? You have to make them earn it. You can't pitch to them.
Yeah.
All right? A 3-0 count to Judge or Soto isn't a bad thing. It isn't a bad thing. You know, you have to work your way around it. You have to be a little crazy on the mound. You have to, you know, make them guess, you know. And just because it's a 3-2 count doesn't mean that you have to lay one down the middle. You know, you can, you know, make it look good, but it doesn't necessarily have to go down the pipe. You have to, you know, you have to make them, you know, really think about what's going on over there, you know. And this is how you beat the Yankees, you know. Once you get past the first four guys, you know, you're in business. That's what you have to understand. I already knew that, you know, their bullpen kind of sucks. You know, they're having trouble. You know, our bullpen is, you know, I think way better than theirs. But I already knew that, you know, late in the game, the Yankees were going to make their, you know, make their move, you know. Thank God we scored a lot against Cole and we were able to destroy him, you know. I love saying that word. We destroyed him, you know. And today as well, you know, they had the number two on the mound. I'm going to really say that they're number one on the mound, you know, because he's been around and he's, you know, he had a 9-2 record prior to today and we lit him up too. And, you know, I just finished looking at the score. It's 4-2 right now, rain delay, one out, man on second and third for the Mets in the bottom of the fourth, I believe. And come on, man, we're going to chew them apart. I can't wait. Bottom of the fifth, man on second and third with one out, okay? 4-0 New York Mets, all right? This is a team that's 38-39, all right? We haven't seen 500, I believe, all season. We played horribly. But June has been our month. Lindor's hitting like a maniac. J.D. Martinez, Alvarez, Nimmo, you know, and then we have the, you know, the second tier cast, you know, Vientos hit 2 home runs last night, earning his slot at third base. You know, it's pretty insane. You know, like I said, I love the youth on our team, and I feel like we need to make the right moves to get better faster. But being that we're in a race right now, unfortunately, because of this silly wild card situation that we have in play now for the last couple of years now, I believe it's been like 3 years now, and you know, it doesn't make any sense, but it's making a lot of things interesting. I just saw a little update that St. Louis, who's also in the wild card race, just finished beating Atlanta as well. Atlanta's been struggling. So St. Louis is in the fight for that last wild card. Atlanta just lost. If the Mets win today, then they move up as well. Are we going to be able to catch Atlanta? The season is long. You never know. You never know. The way the Mets are playing right now, you just never know.
No, you don't know. And I remember saying in the beginning of the year, I said, I won't worry about the Mets yet. I'll wait till the weather gets warmer. And I, because the one thing I've known, working in New York as an EMT, and just for some reason, the New York teams, it takes longer for the weather to get hot. But when the weather does get hot, they start hitting home runs. The balls that they were hitting hard in April, they weren't getting out. But now that it's warmer, the humidity helps. It just, the ball travels better, and that's what's happening. They're getting their power bats going. Like I said, Vientos is contributing. Alvarez, ever since he's came back from his rehab stints, he's been doing great. And like I said, as a Mets fan, I don't blame you because every year they do well, and then the shoe drops on your head, and you're like, what happened?
No,
you
I know what happened.
You know what I mean? You know, just like, year. Or it's not what happened. It's like, why did this happen again? You know, my question I want to ask you is, what did your dad think about? Do you think they should trade everybody, or what does he think?
No, of course he's on fire right now. He loves it. He's like, to be honest with you, right now at this moment, like, I don't even think we need anything. We need maybe one pitcher, and that pitcher is Senzel, right? And he hasn't pitched this year yet, and maybe when he comes in, he can make a difference. I mean, the rotation right now is it's pretty amazing how McGill has turned into a different animal. You know, he's throwing a lot harder. I don't know what happened to this guy. You know, it took him a while to develop and figure it out. But now it's like after he came back, it's like, wow, who is this guy? Right. And Peterson as well. You know, these are the guys that we had in the rotation for a couple of years now. And, you know, looking back, they were never really able to figure it out. But now, for some reason, they're doing all the right things. Severino playing for a contract this year, because, you know, he only got a one-year contract from the Mets. He's playing like Nolan Ryan or something crazy. I don't know what it is. His last start, 10 Ks, you know, and fighting, you know, fighting hard. You know, we have a pretty decent staff. So, like, what do? Do we keep developing Christian Scott and bring him back upstairs? You know, he's a fireballer. You know, we have a lot of options. So, like, and hopefully Senga can come back and contribute. But I don't think we need any pieces. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think, you know, like I said, there's not a lot of sellers out there. I believe it's going to be like five teams that are going to be selling. If Toronto decides to sell, then we can look at players like, you know, Chris Bassett. We can look at, you know,
have him come back.
You know, have him come back and, you know, contribute to our club, you know. But then that means that we have to get rid of one of our guys from the rotation. I don't know if that's going to be the right thing to do, you know. Maybe we wait for us to come back.
Yes, it would. I would definitely. You think so? I would. Yes, Bassett's way better than any other guys you have in your rotation. Manaea for Bassett? I'll take Bassett any day.
I don't know. Manaea, you know, you say that, but these guys have something going on. They have chemistry going on, and they're playing better because of that. You know what I'm saying? You have to understand that it's a team effort, and the Mets have you know, they figured it out. I don't think that getting rid of any one of these guys is in a helpful situation. Now, what I do feel is that McNeil shouldn't be playing right now. You know, maybe we should send him downstairs for a week or two so he can hit, you know, the minor league club pitching, you know what I'm saying? Where he can, like, get back into a groove and have Iglesias play every day, you know? And you know, I don't know. But he shouldn't be in the lineup. You know, Marte was hurt. He has a knee injury. They say he's going to be out for a month. I see that's a good thing because I think that Marte's lazy, and Marte has this weird thing about him. So now we can play DJ Stewart back there. We can play Tyrone Taylor back there. You know, obviously you have to keep Nimmo back there. And Bader's on fire too, so you have to keep Bader at center field, keep Nimmo at left, and then maybe Stewart and Taylor can platoon right field. And Marte's on his way out anyway. He's 36 years old. This is the end of his contract. He's hurt. Let's keep him away. You know, my dad seems to like him. He's like, yeah, he's been contributing lately. He's been hitting the ball hard, but he's lazy back there. He has a great arm. Don't get it twisted. You know, I love his arm back there because people won't even dare tag up, you know, in a situation where they think they have a chance because Marte's arm is so ridiculous and he's so precise that, you know, all right, you know, maybe in the playoffs if he's good and ready. But right now at the moment, I think we have all the pieces and they have chemistry. This is the most important thing. But the only problem I really have right now is the problem at first, because Peter is still not really hitting the way he's supposed to. There's a lot of pressure there. You know, he's playing for a contract. There's something wrong there. So when it comes to Alonso and McNeil, you know, let's play Iglesias at second. And maybe we can play JD at first and then figure out who our DH is. Maybe we can make Stewart the DH when Tyrone Taylor's playing right field. We give Peter Alonso a break, put JD Martinez on first. You know what I'm saying? We can make the lineup even stronger than it is right now at the moment. All right? There's different ways to do it, but I don't think McNeil should be playing second right now at all. I think he's hurting the lineup, and I think we can produce a lot more runs if he wasn't playing. That's just my opinion. What do I know? I'm just a fan, you know?
Yeah, like I said, yeah, you got to enjoy the roller coaster because that's what baseball is. It's a long season. It's a marathon. Enjoy the roller coaster. Enjoy the fun moments. Live in the moments. It's easy to get caught up and say, oh, here we go again, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I got into that moment, you know, just with the Orioles losing 5-game losing streak. I go back to my old school ways. Oh, we're just horrible. Here the old school Orioles always pooping the bed.
No.
But, you know, but it's like, no, they're okay. They're 10 games above 500. You know, so same thing with the Mets. Yeah, they're under 500, and, you know, most the first half of the season, you know, the first quarter of the season, they were awful. But now, you know, you're doing well, you're winning, so it's like, is this a team that is this the team that I think they really are, or the team before when the season started, is that who they really are? I don't know, but enjoy the moment, have fun, and, you know, let it ride out its course. But like I said, it's exciting. If I'm the Mets, keep winning and see what happens. But with that being said, one thing we like to do at the end of every episode is highlight the best pitcher of the week and the best hitter of the week. So for this week, our pitcher, the gunslinger of the week, resides with the Houston Astros, and his name is Ronald Blanco. He had an amazing start against the Detroit Tigers. He had 7 hitless innings with striking out 9 batters. Striking out 8 batters with 3 walks in a 4-1 win against the Detroit Tigers. So he's the one that I think at the beginning of the year he had a no hitter at the beginning of the year or something like that. Or a perfect game, so. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we highlighted him earlier in the year. We definitely did. I remember that. And yes, on top of that, he played in that sweep that the Houston Astros had against the O's.
Yes, he had a good game against them.
He had a good game against them as well. So, yeah, you know what?
He'd be an all-star.
He definitely. I agree. And then, of course, the hit of the week, you know, Josh Naylor for the Cleveland Guardians. Once again, we're talking about the Guardians once again. 10 out of 25, batting .400, 3 home runs and 8 RBIs. That's ridiculous. Okay, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
really what's going good on over there. It's really happening.
He's carried
over
that
there
team.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about the Cleveland team, just to back up a little bit, is that Cleveland, they lost their best manager that they've ever had, Terry Francona, and they have not missed a beat. I can't even tell you the name of the managers because he's no one I don't know about. But they seem to be doing well. The manager, I guess the general manager, they got the right pieces, and they're going to probably win that division. You know, Minnesota started off hot for a while, then just fell off, and it seems like that's Cleveland's division to lose, if not, you know. But, yeah, so Josh Naylor's been great, and Blanco's been great. It's interesting. Both, you know, Houston right now, if the season were to end, they would not be a playoff team. But they're getting hot at the right time, so who knows what they'll be. But yeah, listen, it'll be interesting.
They're only 4.5 games out of the division. So the Mariners right now are 46-37, and the Houston Astros are a legit .500 team now, 40-40. Okay, 4.5 games out. They have to play the Mets very shortly. Let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying? 2 hot ball clubs. You know, Houston, winners of 7 in a row. They're doing the right thing. Last 10, 8 out of 2. You know, they won 8, lost 2. Last 10. They're on fire. And let's see what happens. You know? It's becoming super interesting. There's a lot of baseball left. The Mets are 13.5 games out in their division. Right? And I think they might have a shot at catching up to Atlanta. The way Atlanta's been playing lately. You know, they won 6 out of the last 10. The Mets have won 8 out of the last 2. But June has been very, very good for the Mets. And if they win tonight, you know, they're going to be moving in the right direction, you know? I just don't understand it. It's kind of crazy.
Mets would be 5 games behind in the win column. So with Atlanta lose. Atlanta had a doubleheader today. They split the doubleheader.
Got you.
So, but either way, the Mets still gain ground on the Braves. But like I said, it'll be interesting, and we'll see what next week brings.
Yeah, and then I have a little trivia for you. This is gonna be a very good trivia question. I don't know if you remember this guy. Let's see what happens. So I want you to answer this question: who holds the record for most consecutive stolen bases without getting caught?
So the guys, I had 3 guys in mind.
Okay.
But you're saying that some of my probably wouldn't know. So he's probably not a familiar name. So it's not gonna be Henderson, it's not gonna be Acuna, it's not gonna be LA De La Cruz.
Nope.
Would it be? No, it wouldn't be Reggie Jackson, because that's someone I would know. It's probably some freaking name I've never heard of.
No, he was. I'm not saying he was a. He wasn't a household name, but if you're really into baseball and you were as a kid, you would definitely know his name. It's, you know, he was a, you know, somebody I definitely knew and I was watching.
Okay, I'll just give it a shot. I'll go with Bernie Williams. I don't know.
Definitely not. That guy, I love Bernie Williams, and, you know, I don't think he was that fast, you know what I'm saying? But he was a good hitter, though. But the answer is Vince Coleman.
And, who the heck is that?
Oh, wow, that's crazy that you don't know him. See, I mean, I am a little older than you, so, like, I definitely remember Vince Coleman.
What years did he play?
Oh, well, this streak of his ran from 89 to 90, right? And he stole 50 bases consecutively without getting caught. That's insane. Insane.
And that's insane. 89 to 90. So yes. I was from the age of 2 to 4. So
okay.
Yeah. So and yes, I didn't even speak English.
Yeah, there you go. You see that? That's crazy, right? See, I remember that. You know, because I was 10 in 86 when the Mets won, right? So that would make me like 13. And at that age, I was really following the game. But
wow, you remember when the Mets won? That's amazing. I can't remember. I can't in my life. None of them have won in my lifetime. The closest team, Baltimore might be the Baltimore has been the closest team that's made it to the playoffs and done well, and they just couldn't get over the hump. But and the Devils, I'll take that back. The New Jersey Devils won in 2004. I remember that. But they've been to the Stanley Cup in 2014. But as far as like that I remember, the Devils would probably be the last team I remember that actually won a championship for the teams I liked.
Yeah. When you're younger and you really love the sport, it's amazing how much information you can collect and how much stuff you can remember. You know, like, there's this guy that we want to bring onto the podcast, you know, as a guest, and he just turned 21, but his knowledge of the game is so amazing. He reminds me of you. Like, you're a lot older than he is, but you retain a lot of knowledge, and, you know, this guy, he's just amazing. Like, when we talk baseball, he's always, you know, putting me on to, like, information and telling me these different stats and things that I had no idea about, you know? So, like, I want to bring him onto the show. I want you guys to talk. And, you know his dad because, you know, you worked for his dad for a while.
Yeah, he was my manager.
Yeah, and he's a great guy. But his son is a sponge. And, he's a sponge.
Yeah, that's fine. You just brought back a childhood memory because you were saying, he knows a lot of information. You know, growing up, you know, in the early 2000s, we didn't have the internet, you know what I mean? So I got all my information from the sports page, and it was cool because they'd tell you all the standings. It would lay out all the stats, who had the best home runs, who had the best ERA. All that information was in the newspapers. So that's how I remember. And my dad was amazed because, like, I didn't write things down, but he could ask me, who has the best hitter? Who has the most home runs? Oh, that's easy, Dad. Alex Rodriguez. Or that's, who has the most, you know, doubles? Oh, that's Derek Jeter. Things like that. I could rattle them off. And it used to drive him crazy because when it comes to do schoolwork, hey, Lasha, what's 4 times 4? I don't know. He'd be like, I don't understand my son. The boy knows who the home run king is, but he can't tell me what. It drive my father crazy, but it's just about like the brain is amazing because when you want to learn something, you'll process and you'll Everything learn it. When it's something you don't want, you throw it out the window.
For it. Yeah, you don't care for it. But when it's something you really like and love, you retain the information. That's how crazy it is. Like I said, like as a young kid, I can tell you all the players on that 86 team. I can tell you, you know, how good they were, and you know, I definitely remember, you know, watching a lot of baseball at that age, and I was in love with it. You know, I the majority of the games I played, you know, the video games, they were all baseball games. Like, I love, like, sitting down in front of the television, and, you know, a lot of these games back in the day, these video games, they didn't actually have the names of the players that were on the field for the team that you love, but I would change the names of the players. I'd be like, that's the catcher I'm hitting now? Well, guess what? That's Gary Carter, and I'm going to hit a home run with him right now. It's funny like that. Like, you know, now, you know, we have great games like the show and, They really do a lot of hard work to make sure that this game is so close to what it's really like out there on the field, and you get to manage the team, and you're working with the actual players, and the stats are there. Everything is, you know, you can trade and do all this ridiculous stuff with these games now, but it wasn't like that back in the day. It was like, okay, so, you know, this random dude with a random name with the right number, though, you know, you would play with the Mets, and, you know, they had the right colors and they had the right numbers. So you knew that the catcher number 8 was Gary Carter, but they weren't able to actually use that name because, you know, they would get sued for that, you know? So, like, they didn't have the proper channels, or they didn't want to spend that kind of money to, you know, put the catcher's name on there, you know? But it's okay, though, because I knew who he was. And that's what I was playing. Like, I love playing those baseball games, those old school baseball games. But whatever, we're coming to the end of the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, there was a lot of anger and, you know, opinions on what we think should be going on and why we hate this and that. But it's going to be interesting. This season is so different from any of the seasons that I remember, you know. And I can't wait for the trade deadline to, you know, come around, because I really need to know if Toronto's going to let go. Because that's where the gold is. That's the end of the rainbow for this trade deadline. They have so many great players, and I want to see them move on and help other teams prevail. And I'm dying to see what happens to the Mets. You know, can we really pull this off? Can we really pull this off? I don't know, but I won't be surprised if they don't, like they always do. They always fail at the end of the season. You know, we've seen it happen so many times over. And I also want to see the O's take that division and go for a long run. I want to see them in the big game. I want to see them there, and I want to cheer for them, you know. And God forbid that the O's and the Mets get involved in that situation. All right, so see a World Series of that caliber. Oh, man, whatever. This is the end of the show. Have a good night. And I hope you guys enjoy yourselves. Definitely, brother.